read with me these two verses of Scripture, James chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Yes, a man may say, "Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." As we've studied this subject in verse 2 of faith and works, we have noted that faith that is never energized is a dead faith. Verse 17, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead." Now notice the last two words, "being alone." As I've studied this book, there was something that really puzzled me, and so I began to ask others who are good in the biblical languages, and I began to read a great deal trying to find out an answer to this rather puzzling thing to me. And that was, in the book of James, whenever it speaks of faith, in this second chapter particularly, it always has a definite article in front of it, and it should be read, "the faith." Can the faith save him? And most of the time when we have that article, it has to do with a system of doctrine and teaching. Jude wrote that we should earnestly contend for the faith, which means all of the things that Jesus taught us. It has to do with the method of baptism, plan of salvation, the nature of the church, inspiration of scriptures, and things of this nature. But as I studied this, I could understand quite quickly that he wasn't talking about the system of doctrine saving us. And after I had talked to a number of other people and studied and prayed earnestly for some help in understanding this, it was called to my attention to one of the fellow teachers at seminary that he had noted that oftentimes the article can mean one or alone, and it can be also used to indicate one. And so as I begin to think about this, I think I understand now what James was saying. You have to understand that James was writing to Jewish people, dispersed ones. That's very evident in verse 1. "To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting." Now these particular people lived in a time, and they're still people, the Jewish people, who emphasize that there is one God. That is what they have contributed to our world. That is keeping alive and preaching and teaching that there is one God, and besides Him, there is no other. So the Jewish people would have a strong commitment to the truth of there being one God and one God only. And I think that's important to understanding what James has written, especially in this second chapter. Because there were so many of them that believed so strongly and so deeply that believing in one God was the epitome of their religion. And so when John came, he preached repentance. Now notice, he preached repentance to a people who already believed deeply in one God. Did he not? "Repent ye," John didn't try to convince them there was a God. John didn't try to convince them that they didn't believe in this one God. But he did know and understand that there was something they had not done, and that is, they had not repented. And Jesus preached, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Two people who understood there was one God, who believed deeply there was one God, but that belief was alone. There was never repentance. Now, Paul wrote that he had come and he had preached and he had taught to the Ephesians. Now notice, not to believe in God, not that there was one God. They had evidently already come to that conclusion. But notice, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Here were people to whom James is writing who believed devoutly that there was one God, but they had never repented. They had never placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And because of that, there was no evidence of their being Christians. There was no evidence that they had been changed. And this is the point that James is making here. Now notice, such faith as these people possessed is a belief that God is, but no effort is ever made to seek him. He that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that's where they'd stopped, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. They had faith that there was a God, but this belief alone by itself, without repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, does not affect salvation. Faith that has been energized and that leads one to believe in Jesus Christ is a faith that is seen by others. It is possible for us to say and not possess. It is possible for us to profess and not possess. Notice in verse 14 of chapter 2. What doth it profit, my brethren? That is, what advantage is there to a person saying he hath faith and have not works? Can that kind of faith save him? That is, the mere belief that God exists. Then he gives an illustration of the kinds of things that will grace the life of a person who not only believes in God monotheistically, but also has repented toward this God and placed their faith in God's redemption, our plan of redemption, that is Jesus Christ. If a brother or sister be naked, that is, they simply have no outer garments at all, and destitute of daily food, that is, completely and totally abandoned in regard to having food for that single day. Now notice, it's a brother or sister. It isn't some stranger who knocks on our door. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, which is a statement of dismissal. It's rather cynical. It was what you would say to a beggar on the street who interrupted your progress and asked you for alms. You would simply shake him off and dismiss his plea by saying, depart in peace. Be ye warmed and be ye filled. Warmed means to have the warmth of clothing. Filled here means to feel the stomach full as though you have eaten food. So there is some cynicism here. And certainly there is the absence of compassion. There is the absence of mercy. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? That is, how have you helped that person? Now notice verse 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, if it is not energized, if it does not demonstrate a faith that has energy, it is dead. Why is it dead? Because it is a loan. Here is a person who believes in one God, but his faith is a loan. He has never made a commitment of his soul to Christ to keep it, and there is no sign of repentance. You know, we talk about being born again, and that's what Jesus talked about, and we ought to talk about it. But oftentimes, as we talk about being born again, we say that if we're born again, then we're going to see evidences of being born again. Now listen, repentance is probably what we're talking about when we look in the Bible and see what we have usually called signs of being born again. That is a dramatic change in the way a person lives, a dramatic change in the way they look at the things of God, a dramatic thing change in the way they look at others. And often what we're talking about is the fruit of their repentance. The fruit of having faith toward God, or repentance toward God, and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, which of course affects the new birth. Now, let's look at the evidence of one's faith in verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. This is not evidence that God needs in order to know if we have faith. The idea that God is looking into our lives to see if we've been born again, that God is looking into our hearts to see if we believe, or rather God is looking at the things we do to see if we're saved, to see if we really believe, to see if we've really repented, that certainly is not necessary. It isn't necessary for us to do something in order for God to know what our hearts are like. We know that God can read our hearts. We know that God knows our thoughts and that God knows our intentions. So we're not talking about showing God. We're not talking about demonstrating or proving anything to God, for God knows all things. Then whom is it? To whom are we saying, look, I am a child of God. Look, I have faith. Yea, a man may say. That is, he's just opening up the possibility. But someone will say, thou hast faith, which is a firmly relying confidence, and I have works. Works is that which is brought about or brought into being by labor. So here's another translation. But someone will object. Here is one who claims to have faith, and another who points to his deeds. Now it's not just fearing God. It's not just believing in God. But it is fearing God and keeping his commandments. Show me thy faith without thy works. Now this word show means to point as with a finger. So he's saying, point at something that shows or demonstrates that you have faith. It may be one's words. It may be explanation. It may be teaching. But above everything else, it has in it the idea of a visible demonstration. You point to something that shows that you or demonstrates that you have faith without works. And immediately we all see that you can't do that. People can't say, I have faith, and demonstrate or point out or prove they have faith if there is no act that substantiates that claim. Sometimes, and it's getting further and further apart in my life, that I get amused at things I see on television. Usually now, my reaction to television more than anything else now is anger. I get angry more watching television, so I'm trying to cut it down and maybe even cut it out. It's a habit that it's not too easy to break. But I found out it doesn't amuse me. I don't laugh any. And it usually just angers me. And that goes all the way from all the sitcom programs down through the evening news. I even get mad watching the weather forecast. Maybe I'm becoming deeply cynical. But one of the things that I found amusing is that in stores nowadays, here's the husband who says, but I love you with all my heart, and I love the children with all my heart, but I'm leaving you. And there are people who are sitting out yonder in our community, in this section of Little Rock and all over Little Rock. There are people sitting out there in the pajamas with a paper, the TV on, extra cup of coffee in there saying, oh, yes, I believe in God. Oh, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. But what does the finger of evidence point to? Some wag has said if they were putting Christians in prison today, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And I really think there wouldn't be in the lives of many, 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 many people. And I think that the church has to bear a great burden in that, because we told people, if you'll believe in God, you'll be saved. We never told them about repentance. We never told them about repenting toward God and exercising faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they accepted that as the plan of salvation, and they're lost. Now I'm going to tell you why. Don't get up and leave. Don't mark me a heretic until you've heard me out. Show me that you're a Christian without any works at all. Demonstrate it. It's exactly like this. Here's a guy who claims to be a millionaire. And you ask him, look, if you're a millionaire, show me a $1,000 bill. Show me your check account. And he says, well, I don't have any money. I don't have a checking account. And I'm broke. But you're a millionaire? Yes, I am. I had a strange experience this week when I went to have some photographs developed. Here at Mall, at Southwest Mall, I saw on a sign, on the side of the building sign said, 1/2 hour processing. I mean, 1/2 hour photo processing. You know what I thought? I thought that meant 30 minutes. So I took my film into the building, and it was 9:34, something like that. I gave it to the fella. And I said, I'll pick it up about 10:15. No. This is not the normal type person you meet in Southwest Little Rock, okay? Had a heavy accent. No, you cannot have. Why can I not have? Because it takes 1 hour. Whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean it takes an hour? Never do it under 1 hour. Always 1 hour. And I said, but the sign says 1/2 hour photo processing. He said, yes, sir, that's the name of the company. Now, I'm telling you the truth. And I said, in other words, that's not what you do, that's the name of the company. He smiled and said, yes, sir, that's correct. And I said, I'll be back about 12. It's not what we do, it's the name of the company. Aren't there a lot of Christians out there? That's not who we are, that's not what I do, that's just what I call myself. I don't have any evidence. I don't have any proof. There's not a single thing that I can point to with my finger and say, see there, I believe. See there, I've been converted. See there, I've been born again. See there, I've repented. Not a single solitary fragment of evidence. Now, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Again, the word show means to point out as with a finger. I will demonstrate to you by my actions, by things that I have done, and by things that I have said, because this evidence we're talking about may very well be things that we have said, may well be things we have taught. Now here's the key to understanding what James was talking about. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. And this word believe here is the same word that's translated faith in other places. You have faith that there is one God. You believe that there is one God. You have a firm conviction that there is one. And the word that's translated one here is the first cardinal number. And it's very emphatic in that it means one, even one, one singly, not two. Can't possibly say, well, I think that may be two, I think it might mean three. It's so emphatic, you cannot misunderstand it. You believe that there is one God, and the word God here is theos. It's the real God, the literal God, the true God. You believe that there is one God. You are monotheistic. You are a good Jew. You are a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Hear, O Israel, thy God is what? One. Then he states, thou doest well. And I don't think that's sarcasm. I don't think it's cynicism. Here, this word simply means it's a continual action. It means that you are doing it. You are producing. It's something you do every day. It wasn't that they believed in God one day and didn't believe in God the next day. That they believed God was many gods one day and believed that God there were just one God. This was not a mixture of things. It is saying you continually and you consistently, you say, you believe, you're convinced, you're firmly convinced that there is one God, and it's the true God, the certain God, the positive God, the God of creation. And he says, you do well. That is excellent. It's suitable. It's profitable. It's what you ought to do. Everybody ought to do that. But now notice, the devils also believe and tremble. Now I don't think this is sarcastic. And I don't think we ought to treat it that way. James is trying to show some people who've deluded themselves into believing that they were everything they ought to be in God's sight because they were not worshipers of many gods. They were not polytheistic. We're monotheistic. We're Jews. We're Hebrews of the Hebrews. Listen, wasn't that what Paul was? Wasn't that what Paul the apostle was? What did Paul have to be convinced that there was a God? Did Paul have to be convinced that the Old Testament scriptures were true? What is it that Paul didn't have that he said made him a blasphemer and caused him to be a lost man? Paul didn't say, I didn't believe in God, but then I heard a preacher say there's a God, and I started looking around, and finally I accepted the fact there's a God. Paul was a Jew. Paul believed in God. Well, what is it that Paul hadn't done that changed his life, that made him a saved person, that made him a justified person? Paul tells us, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was lost when he was just a believer in God, a preacher of monotheism. The devils also believe and tremble. This word, of course, means demons. And the word believe is exactly the same word that's used throughout the book of James and the rest of New Testament to mean believe or to be persuaded. So it's not a word that's going to change. They also are firmly convicted. That is, the devils are. They're firmly convicted of what? That there's one God. See, the devils are monotheistic. They know better. There's not a devil in hell or out of hell that doesn't believe there is one God. You say, well, the devils believe in polytheism. No, men believe in polytheism. Men worship many gods, but the devil and the demons, they all know there is one God. They're firmly convicted of it. They're firmly and truly convinced that there is one God, and it's the true God. But what happens when they use this knowledge of God? What happens? Well, the Bible says they tremble. It's the only time that particular word, it's not the only time we see it in the King James Version, but it's the only time that this particular word is used. And it means to be rough or uneven or jagged. And therefore, it means to bristle. And its meaning here is that the devil's hair stands on end. And they shudder so that the skin becomes rough and pimpled. And the hair stands on its end. It speaks of abject terror and fright. Now, notice, that's all they do. They know there's one God, and this knowledge they have causes them to be filled with abject fear and terror, so much that it's like a human whose skin becomes rough and pimpled and whose hair stands upon its ends. There's such fright and such fear. Now look with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28, it tells of a circumstance and an incident when Jesus was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes. This is verse 28 of chapter 28. There met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, now this is not the two men, but these are the demons that possessed them. What have we to do? Now notice, Jesus, thou Son of God. You see, demons believe in one God. They also believe that Jesus is his Son. They call Jesus, thou Son of God. Now, what is it that demons haven't done? If belief in God is enough, if believing that Jesus Christ exists, if that's enough, then would we say demons are saved? No. Why? Because they haven't repented. I don't know whether they can repent. I don't think they can. But they tremble, they believe, they're filled with fear. But they do not repent toward God and have faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think demons can be saved, and I don't think the angels of God can be lost. However, that is a valid point. And I'll show you in other scriptures what I think had happened. Let's look at Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, verse 25. Acts 24:25. Well, verse 24, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, now notice, a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he, that is Paul, reasoned with Felix and Drusilla about judgment, about temperance, about righteousness. Whose righteousness? Well, Christ's righteousness. Temperance and judgment to come. Felix trembled. Here's a man who's affected by a message on righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. He is affected by it. And he trembles. He's filled with fear and anxiety because of what he has heard. But does he repent? Does he change his mind about God and himself and the Word of God and Jesus Christ? No, he trembles. Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Now in verse 26 it says he hoped to get money. Verse 27 tells us, but after 2 years Porcius Festus came unto Felix, into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Now listen. See, he left Paul bound. He heard what Paul said about Jesus and about God, but he never repented. He never exercised faith in Christ. He left Paul bound. You see, the jailer, whenever Paul and Silas were there, and he sprang in with a light, and they told him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, what did the jailer do? He believed, didn't he? He repented, and he put his faith in Christ. And the Bible tells us he took Paul and Silas, and what did he do with them? He washed and bound their wounds. See? Changed his mind. Changed his heart. God did. Now look at Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, verse 27. Paul, here preaching to King Agrippa, said in verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Now notice, I know that thou believest. That's not cynicism, not sarcasm. He said, I know you believe the prophets. Who are the prophets? Isaiah, Ezekiel, and all the others. I know you believe them. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But almost is not enough, is it? He trembled, evidently, very deeply concerned, filled with anxiety. But what happened? He never repented. He never placed his faith in Jesus Christ. Why aren't these believers saved? Agrippa believed. Felix trembled. The demon said, "Thou art the Christ, thou art Jesus, the Son of God." The devils believe in monotheism. They haven't repented. Acts 20:21. Testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance here is a change of mind from bad to good, not merely pain of mind, but a complete turnaround and change of mind. And the word toward here means unto, or to, not just in the general direction, but unto. A change from self to Jesus. We see the fruit of repentance. Paul persecuted the church before repentance. After repentance, he built churches. There was proof, or Paul could point at his own suffering, at the marks in his body. He could point at the congregations that he'd left. He could point to people, individuals who had been won to Christ by his testimony, to whom he had witnessed. There was proof. There was evidence, and Paul could point at it. He could point at what he was before he was saved, a blasphemer, persecutor of the church. He could point at what he was after he was saved, after repentance. He had always believed in God from a very youth. But he certainly had not repented toward God and had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's three important questions. Do you believe in God? In Jehovah. Theos. Do you believe in the true and living God? Say, yes, I do. I do believe in the true and living God. Well, have you repented toward this God because you see yourself a vile and wicked sinner, incapable of so living as to merit God's approval in your life? And when you see your incompetence and incapacity to change yourself, have you repented of who you are and what you've done? And have you repented toward God? Not to your mother, not to your father, not toward society, not to the church, not to your loved ones. You don't need to repent toward your mother. You can't repent toward your mother and your father. You can't go to them and say, "Father, I made a mistake," or "Mother, I made a mistake." You have to repent toward God. It has to be unto God, not repentance to society, not pain in your heart that you got caught, not pain in your heart that you're suffering. It has to be repentance toward God for your own sins. Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? As Paul said to the Philippian jailer, believe, trust in, firmly rely upon who? The Lord. Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth. It has to be that specific. It has to be that Jesus. Have you had faith toward him? Have you trusted him? And evidently that's what these people had not done. And they had no evidence of it. They had no evidence that they had. If they had, there was no evidence of it. And James is saying, if there's no evidence of it, then it's alone. You haven't done what you should do. He said, "Brother Penn, are you preaching works for salvation?" I sure am not. I'm preaching the works of God for salvation, the works of Christ for salvation. But I am saying what James said. There ought to be some evidence. There ought to be some proof. Shouldn't there be some proof? Shouldn't there be some evidence?